From WXXI News, this is Connections. I'm Evan Dawson. Our connection this hour was made this past Saturday in El Paso, Texas, when El Pasans voted to elect a new mayor. Incumbent Republican Dee Margo was defeated in a landslide, with Democrat Oscar Leeser winning easily. And with that loss, Republicans now control the mayor's office in only two of the nation's 25 largest cities. It has been a big change since 1980. 40 years ago, Republicans tended to win the counties that had the highest percentage of college graduates and the highest levels of income. Republicans won often in America's cities, whether it was city council seats or mayoral races. Not anymore. As we discussed 2 weeks ago on this program, Democrats win almost nothing in rural America, and Republicans win almost nothing in America's cities. On the national level, this shift benefits Republicans. They control the Senate, even though they routinely receive fewer vote totals combined in Senate races. And if Democrats want to win in rural America again, they got a lot of work to do. They will have to cut into GOP support there. We talked about that with Democrats 2 weeks ago on this program. If Republicans want to win in the largest population centers, they have a lot of work to do as well. The Monroe County Republican Party has a new chair, with Bernie Iacovangelo taking over for Bill Napier. It's our first chance to talk to the new chairman, who's going to talk about a wide range of issues with us this hour. And he said yes right away. We are so gratified by that. Bernie Iacovangelo, acting chair of the Monroe County Republican Committee. Welcome to the program. Thanks for being with us.
Thank you very much, Evan. It's a pleasure to be with you.
And David Dunning is with us. David is the secretary of the Monroe County Republican Committee and supervisor of the town of Chilly. Since when? What's the history there, David?
I've been in office since 2008.
2008 now. Well, welcome to you. Thanks for making time, David.
Thank you for having me.
So there's a lot to talk about this hour, but I think, Bernie, let's just have you introduce yourself first for listeners who, you know, your name is new to. You're going to be leading the Republican Party locally now. Tell us about yourself.
Well, Evan, you know, I've been a lifelong resident of Monroe County, having, you know, been raised in the city, then moved out to the town of Chilly back in the early 70s, and went to Aquinas Institute, graduated from there, went to St. John Fisher College, went on to law school at Stetson University College of Law in St. Petersburg, Florida, then returned home with my to practice law with my brother Frank and Lou Gallo in the law firm of Gallo and Iacovangelo. I was the first associate and the first new partner to the law firm. Practiced law, and from there on, we got into apartment management and ownership. We went into home building and land development with Faber, and all along the way, I've got involved in coaching. I did a lot of soccer coaching, and you know, and I continue to be a business owner. I stopped the active practice of law at the end of the 90s, and I've been chair out in the town of Chilly since 2004. Steve Manerick made me the chair in 2004, and I've been there ever since. And now, you know, I was asked to be the chair of the Monroe County Republican Committee.
Why is this a job you want right now, Bernie?
Well, it's a job that someone has to undertake in order to, number one, plan for the future and plan to make sure that every family has the ability to get good government. You know what I'm saying to you? I've been about good government, and one of the things that I did learn from former Chairman Manerick, God rest his soul, was the fact that as a leader, okay, you must do two things, and that's, number one, work with your elected officials, and number two, support your candidates. And in order to bring good government throughout any kind of community, whether it's the city of Rochester, the suburbs, or even the county or state of New York, you got to believe in the philosophy of good government.
What's that mean to you, and why do you think Republicans have done so well in rural areas where you've been taking this message, Bernie?
Well, what I believe is good government is where all your candidates and elected officials truly believe, number one, that their job is not about themselves, that their candidacy is not about themselves, but their job is to serve their constituents, each and every one of them. It's about service, and that's number one, you know, and that's my belief as to what good government is. You know, they've got to be strong public servants, and I don't care where they want to stand in any photo ops. I really could care less about that. I'm more concerned about if someone has an issue, can they be heard? And if that issue has relevancy, can it be worked with? Now, everyone does know that, you know, in each community, we have the New York State town law that sort of mandates certain performance and, you know, controls certain things. The city of Rochester has a lot of different rules and so on. So, you know, within the constraints that are there in the law, I think that every elected official should do whatever they can to at least, A, listen to the needs of their constituents, and B, address them.
Well, let's talk a little bit about your goals first for the party, and then I want to talk about this divide that in the last 40 years has fascinatingly flipped in this country. We talked to some of your colleagues in the Democratic Party 2 weeks ago about their efforts to sort of slow that trend, and I'm curious to know what both of you think about the Republican Party's prospects for flipping some of the trends back, at least in America's cities. But before we do that, and Bernie and David, I'll start with you, Bernie. You know, when you look at the Republican Party locally, it's a party, at least in Monroe County, that's had a lot of success over the years. For the first time recently, lost the county executive race, but still with a slight control in the legislature, most of the control in the towns, town government, supervisors' offices. Republicans have done very well. What realistically are the goals that you bring to the party right now, Bernie?
Well, the first thing that I'm going to bring to the party is a desire, okay, a strong desire, as I told you about before, about service to the community, service to the constituents, and making sure that any decision that's made is in the, whoever you represent, whatever district or whatever, is about good government and the people that live there, because the decision you make today will affect them for the next 50 to 100 years. And that's got to be paramount. They've got to understand that. Number two, it's about making sure that we get the right candidates. You know, getting good candidates that want to serve is critical. And, you know, that is extremely important. And number three is building a great committee, Monroe County Republican Committee, and each town committee, to bring on more and more people that really want to be there to serve and support candidates, be there to serve and support the constituents in the community, and be there to support the elected officials, and do it enthusiastically. They got to be hard workers, and they got to want to be enthusiastic about bringing good government. So those are some of the things that I'm looking to bring to the job that I'm undertaking and to build, you know, throughout this community.
David, as Secretary of the Republican Party, what's your role and what do you see the goals as?
My role is to support the chairman and to support the committee and support any candidate, any committee that needs assistance. I'll call it a soldier, so to speak. I'll be that guy that will bring messages back to the chairman. I will work with the chairman and take messages back out to the committees. So my role is to support the whole team.
Well, let's talk a little bit about what has changed in 40 years. And I want to start in rural America, where Republicans dominate. I want to ask both of you why that is. In 1980, the 100 American counties with the highest share of college graduates, if you look at those 100 counties, Republicans dominated in those counties. They won 76% of those counties, 76 out of 100. 2020, Democrats won 84 out of those 100. So it's flipped entirely. Back in 1980, Democrats had won a pretty good chunk in rural America in various places. They rarely won. Democrats in 1980 rarely won the wealthiest enclaves. That has flipped. Republicans won 91 of the 100 wealthiest counties in 1980. This year, Democrats winning almost 60 out of 100. So huge, huge switches and flipped on its head since 1980. David Dunning, as the supervisor of the town of Chi-Lai and the secretary of the local Republican Party, why do you think Republicans have flipped that successfully in 40 years? Why have Republicans done so well in rural America?
Because I think it's the message. I think it's good government, and it's the message, and it's how we serve. You know, quite frankly, I think our Republican team and our Republican leaders across, at least I can say for Monroe County, have served the people. We don't, once, you know, we're elected, there's a time for politics, Evan. That time for politics is during an election. And then there's that time after that election that now we are committed, we swear to serve the people of our communities. We don't care whether or not they're Republicans or Democrats or independents. We don't care if they're brown, black, Asian. We don't care. We serve those people. And as long as we are serving those people and continue to serve those people to the best of our ability, then we will. I think the Republican Party will be extremely successful. We've been successful at controlling taxes. We've been successful at good government. And quite frankly, we're very approachable. In my office and in my tenure here as the supervisor of the town of Chi-Lai, my door has always been open to people, and I think that's consistent with the rest of the Republican theory and how these the other supervisors work. The door is open. We're only a phone call away. We'll come out and see you if we have to come out and see you. Whatever it is we have to do to help you as a constituent, as a community member, we are going to be there to do that.
Bernie Iacovangelo, why do you think Republicans have flipped that script and been so successful in rural America since 1980?
Well, first of all, Evan, if you give me the opportunity, I just want to mention that one of the reasons why I asked David to, be the secretary of the, county committee is because of what he just said, because of the way I've worked with him over the years. We have some great government here in Chi-Lai. We have some great attitudes about how to serve the people here. And that's why, if you listen to David, that's why I needed him on my team. He is the epitome of how to serve his community. And that's what we want to get across. We want to get it across not only to our Republican team, we want to get it across to every other person, no matter what their registration is, throughout the county. We'd like it to spread throughout the state. It's about serving the people. And I just wanted to mention that because David is our role model, and he does a phenomenal job, as well as many of our other, town supervisors that continue to get reelected annually. So I just wanted to bring that to your attention.
All right. Well, when it comes to race, David, you said that, the Republican Party is not going to be exclusive. The Republican Party wants to govern well for everybody. Why do you think it is that the Republican Party has been at least, when you look at the sort of the broad strokes of it, the Republican Party does not do well with voters who are not white? Why is that?
I guess I'm not sure what you're asking there, Evan.
I take the points you're making, but for the most part, Republicans have struggled to win over. Certainly, Democrats dominate in the black vote. Democrats continue to win the Latino vote, though that shifted a little bit in Republicans' favor this year. Those are the two largest groups that come to mind among many here. Why is that? Why is that, David, that if you feel like this is a party of good government, it hasn't been a message that has been largely adopted in the Latino community and the black community to the level of winning those groups?
And I don't know that I could even answer that question. I don't know that it's absolutely true, Evan, all due respect. But and I really don't know, who's voting. In the town of Chi-Lai, I don't know if blacks or Latinos or Asians or white or millennials or senior citizens are voting for me. I don't know. I can look a voter registry and say that someone voted, but I don't know who they voted for.
But David, you know that. I mean, take the black vote. You can't say you don't know if they vote generally for Democrats or Republicans. You know the answer to that, don't you?
I don't, Evan. I don't know. I just know I can look and see who voted, and that's it.
Evan?
Yeah, go ahead, Bernie.
If I could bring something to the table here. Number one, you know, what I found, and I got to tell you, I'm not a student of this. I didn't get a political science degree or anything like that. And, you know, I've just learned with on-the-job training. One of the things I do know from looking at prior election years is that there are groups of Dems that just vote Democratic no matter what. It's just strictly party line. Number two, there's a group of Republicans that every time they vote party line. They don't even recognize the qualifications of the candidate. They just vote. There's independents that, well, there were independents. There's no longer any independents. The conservatives, they vote strictly party line. What we have seen over the years is that there are a lot of people that do vote for the candidate, do vote for what they bring to the table, and they do cross party lines. And in Chi-Lai, I can speak for Chi-Lai. We, as a result of the type of government that we have a lot of people voting for us. We can tell you almost, numerically what you're going to see whenever there's a race against David Dunning. I bring that to the table because we have no issues, because we do the right thing every time. So those are the kind of things we look at. But if you want to ask me why the Republicans have been more successful over the past 40 years with the rural, you got to recognize one thing. Number one, the conservative nature of who we are and what our principles are. When we start talking about lower taxes, less government restrictions, okay, and those kind of ideals, what you tend to see is, let's go to rural America. You want to talk about rural America? The farmers, you want to talk about one of the most risky businesses in the United States of America? It's farming. And so when, they want conservative government, they want lower taxes, they want good opportunities to promote the success of their farming needs, okay? So one of the things you start to see is that, what we have done as a party for years is lower government, smaller government. We don't believe that the government should control everybody, number one. Number two, we believe in lower taxes. We need to be cognizant of the fact that we have to spend what we bring in, just like everybody does in their own home. Number three, we got to have less restrictions. Regulations will kill every industry in the United States. So those are some of our beliefs. In the rural environment, it was ever more evident. You know what I'm saying to you? And so, that's why, we have been extremely successful, over the past 40 years.
Sure, yeah. And I think if you want to speak generally, rural voters will often talk about a spirit of self-sufficiency, of sort of individual drive, self-determination. Those things, speaking broadly, certainly matter, and I take that point. In a moment, I want to ask about what you think the party can do to start winning in cities again. But I just want to make sure I'm clear on a point here. I take David's point that, for example, in the town of Chi-Lai, you're not going to know how every individual voted. Black, white, Asian, et cetera. I take that point. But, you certainly can't say as a party that you don't know that black Americans tend not to vote for your party. That's what I'm asking about. Why, for example, do voters who tend not to be white tend not to vote for your party, not in Chi-Lai, not in Monroe County, but just generally in this country, David? Why do you think?
I think that's an assumption, Evan, that I'm not willing to...
No, that's true, David. Do you think black Americans vote for Republicans generally in this country?
Well, let me ask you something, David. Have you ever heard of former Senator Elbert Gillery from Louisiana?
Elbert Gillery from Louisiana. I have not.
And did you ever, hear his speech about why he became a Republican?
I have not.
Now, I got to tell you, you should go to YouTube, and it's about 3.5 minutes, and you should listen to it. And one of the things that he really explains really, really well, you know, what's happened and the fact that, you know, our, you know, the Democrats, you know, that were a party of Jim Crow, that it was the Republicans that, you know, really the abolitionist party, the party of Abraham Lincoln, you know, that was the author of the Emancipation Proclamation. We did all that stuff. But over the years, what's happened is that, you know, he says it very, very nicely, is that all these giveaway programs are all about control, and they disguise the control as charity. These are his words, programs such as welfare, food stamps. These programs are designed to lift, you know, aren't designed to lift the black Americans out of poverty. They were always intended as a mechanism for politicians to control black, the black community. So, you know, I hear that. What you're trying to indicate is that, you know, they vote differently, okay, and they vote democratically. But I try to follow the words of, you know, former Senator Elbert Guillory. And I got to tell you something. He does a great job at defining what the core issue is. And, you know, what my goal is going to be, you know, if I can lead into, you know, the city, the urban environment.
Sure, sure.
You know, my goal is, just like it was when I went there the first time in 1998, to coach the first ever boys U16 travel soccer league. And that was with the Flower City Soccer League. And I was the first ever coach of a travel soccer team, boys U16. And one of the first thing I had to do is, as a coach, was earn their trust. I found that, you know, there's not a lot that they can rely on. There's not a lot of trust that they can put into people. And I could see it. That's why they have their personal space that they have to protect, because that's all they know is about protection. I had to, first of all, make them truly understand that I wasn't there to be on the news. I wasn't there to get recognition and reward, compensation, none of that. I was there for them. And I wanted to send that message to the, you know, people that are living in the city of Rochester, no matter who they are, no matter who they are, because there are, you know, one of the things everyone thinks is that it's just a black community. It's not. There are Asians there. There's many. There are Hispanics there. There are many. There are, we talk about diversity. Diversity is a tremendous thing, and it's a great thing, and I embrace it. And so what my plans are is to become a little bit more visible in delivering that message within the city. It's a little bit more about letting them know that we want to bring them good government.
Okay, I take that point, and I think that's it sounds like part of a strategy to start turning the tide and winning in urban centers again, which Republicans used to do a lot more often decades ago in this country, just as Democrats used to win in rural America, and a lot has changed. We're talking to Bernie Iacovangelo, David Dunning. Bernie is the new chair of the Monroe County Republican Committee, and David is the secretary. He's also the supervisor since 2008 of the town of Chi-Lai. And, you know, Bernie, when you talk about what former Senator Guillory used to say about control and why he changed parties and his views on the role of government, I want to ask you about not necessarily the leadership, but the voters themselves. So if you look at American cities, if you look at urban voters, if you look at voters across racial backgrounds, economic backgrounds, for those who tend to vote for Democrats in American cities, and that's most, again, 23 out of 25 of the largest cities have Democratic mayors. There is very little movement toward Republican interest in city council races, things like that in Rochester, Buffalo, Syracuse, Cleveland. I mean, you go across the list here toward the Midwest. Why do you think, Bernie, I'll start with you, I'll ask both of you. When you think about voters, I ask Democrats, why do you think rural voters, what do you think their values are? Why do you think they're voting generally for Republicans? What motivates their votes? Do you understand them? Can you articulate what you think their values are? Can you cross those divides? Because caricature doesn't work here. Just as when Democrats sort of mock rural voters, it doesn't help them politically, and it's almost always wrong anyway. when rural voters mock city voters. Doesn't probably help politically, and it's almost always wrong. What do you think are sort of the animating values of voters who tend to vote for Democrats in the cities? Bernie.
Evan, first of all, you're going pretty fast there, and I have hearing aids on. So,
let me just say it again here. When you think about voters and what motivates their values, what their values are, and why they vote the way they do in American cities, in places where most voters vote for Democrats, what do you think are their values and what motivates their votes?
Well, first of all, I think they got good values, number one. I think they have been informed erroneously to not trust the Republicans. That's my belief. I'm going to change that. That's number one. Number two, recognize one thing, Evan, as you continue to make this distinction, remember one thing. In 1954, there was 325,000 people living in the city of Rochester.
Mm-hmm.
Today, there's less than 222,000 living in the city of Rochester. Those city residents went to the suburbs. And those city residents went to the suburbs because of, I believe, number one, a little bit more space. People loved having a bigger backyard, a little bit more space between them. The cities, you know, always have 35-foot wide lots like they do in Toronto. Toronto, that's a premium lot, 35 feet to 40 feet wide. But our cities have, you know, smaller areas, so people tended to move for a little larger space. Number two, they move for better education, school districts. They always opted for more school, more quality instruction for their children. And so as we look at the shift, we have a lot of people. So when we talk about urban, recognize one thing. There are still people, you know, that have been from the city going to the suburbs that have become voters for our Republican team. Why? Because of the trust in the good government and the equality that we bring to all of our constituents. So my true belief is that we continue doing what we do and do well and promoting that message and building that trust among the city residents and constituents there. As I was successful in the Flower City Soccer League, I'm going to work my tail off to become that successful again and build that trust.
Okay.
I'm not going to ask them, and just so you know, and every listener can hear, I'm not going to ask them to change their registration. I'm just going to ask them that when they go to the polls, to give due deliberation to the fact that we're trying to bring good government.
Okay.
So that's it.
And David Dunning, I want you to focus, if you could. I mean, I take Bernie's point on how he's going to reach voters, but I do want to know what you think, David, motivates the voters. What are their values, the voters who tend not to vote for your party? What do you think their values are?
You know, specifically their values, I guess, Evan, I couldn't really speak much to that, but what I can say, what we need to do as a party to motivate the voters, whether they be Democrat or Republican or whatever they may be in the city of Rochester or any other city anywhere, is to get in front of them, communicate with them, talk to them. And quite frankly, I don't think we've done a great job of sitting down and letting the city voters know who we are as people, how we represent people, and what we're willing to do to represent people. So I think we've failed as a party to be able to deliver our message in a way that everybody can understand it.
Talking to David Dunning, the supervisor of the town of Chi-Lai and the secretary of the Monroe County Republican Committee and the new chair of the party's Bernie Iacovangelo with us as well. Let's take our only break, and we come right back to your feedback. We've got emails and phone calls for our guests on the other side of this break. Coming up in our second hour, one of the industries thriving during the pandemic is gaming. Gaming sales, according to Forbes, are up more than 30% this year. With a lot of Americans deciding you can't go out or you're not going to see people in person or your kids aren't, video games might be the next best thing. What if Rochester could become a hub? What if it's a big part of our future industry? We'll talk about how we get there and the games of the year next hour. This is Connections. I'm Evan Dawson. Denise in Rochester on the phone first. Hi, Denise. Go ahead.
Hi. I just wanted to make a point that one Republican politician, local politician, who was very good at reaching out to people in the city, especially black people, was Joe Robach. He was on WDKX. And whenever there was an event in the community, Joe Robach was there. We would laugh and say, my goodness, he's at everything. And he listened. And he spoke to the concerns of black Americans. And I don't see that happening with any other local Republican politician.
Okay.
Yes. And I just wanted to make that point.
Denise, thank you. I appreciate the phone call. Bernie and David, I'm sure, know Joe well. And Joe, I agree with Denise. Joe has been a ubiquitous presence for many years in this community, the retiring state senator. Is that a standard you want to see your party set, Bernie?
Absolutely. And I'm answering for Bernie, Evan. I'm sorry, Bernie. I stepped up.
Go ahead, David.
But, you know, she makes an excellent point. And I will say, you know, I haven't been involved countywide or even in a district like Joe Robach was. But if you come to Chi-Lai, you will find that very same activity going on here. And that is what I'm going to try to bring to the rest of the candidates in the Monroe County Republican Committee and the elected officials. Because, you know, she's absolutely right. Being out there, being involved, being active is huge. And that's to the point that I made just prior to the break, Evan.
All right. Let me read a comment from a listener named Michael, who tends to vote for Democrats. He says, Rudy Giuliani got elected mayor of New York City in 1994 because of an all-time high crime rate there. There were more than 2,000 murders in the city in 1992. If Democrats get rid of the 1994 anti-crime law and defund the police, it could lead to a rising crime rate that could make urban voters, like himself, look at candidates who are not progressive Democrats. That is from Michael, again, someone who does not vote for a lot of Republicans, but he says, defund the police and you could lose my vote. That's an issue that rural Democrats, including our guest 2 weeks ago, said was very detrimental to their efforts in rural America trying to win. Do both of you, David, Bernie, do you agree that that issue is sort of a non-starter in rural America, and how do you see it in cities?
Well, Evan, as I indicated to you, when you told me to introduce myself, I am an attorney and still duly licensed to practice in the state of New York. And I've committed myself to always following the law and, you know, going all the way back to the Code of Hammurabi back in 1754 BC. What gives a civilization real strength is their laws. And when you have laws, just like in the household, or when you're coaching, you got laws, you know, you've got to have enforcement. Otherwise, if there's no enforcement or there's no consequences, laws have no value and things start to decay. So as I, you know, sit here and chat with you, I tell you that for me, I'm fully supportive of continuing to fund our law enforcement, because it's not just about what they do in the streets. You have to, what some people don't recognize is the width and breadth of what our law enforcement does and how it does to protect home security. You remember, everybody has 9/11 remembrances. Everybody wants to remember, never forget 9/11. But people don't understand home security. Homeland Security requires all of our law enforcement agencies to have a certain amount of funding to be able to protect us in the event of an attack. Our Sheriff's Department, I got to tell you something. They got a whole division that's out there, you know, monitoring our waterways and monitoring the shoreline and everything else, okay, to keep it safe. You know, it's about safety. And so Mike was spot on as to what he said. We're talking about people that live in any type of environment. They want to live there safely. If they want their son to go to the store or take a walk down to a neighbor's house, they want to make sure they get there safely and get home safely. We can't have this, you know, continue, you know, in our country, in our cities, or anywhere. You know what I'm saying to you? Because as you start to see, some of the stuff starts to even happen in our communities where there's, you know, murders going on in rural areas, you know, the, you know, SOTUS or wherever. I'm saying we have to have laws, we have to fund our police, and we have to fund them in all their different divisions and responsibilities. All we keep doing is adding more and more responsibility to them, and we got to support them. Now, your next question is going to be, what about the good ones and the bad ones? But in every profession, unfortunately, in every profession, that's why they have all sorts of checks and balances in every profession to watch to make sure that everybody's striving for perfection and doing the right thing, not the wrong thing. You know what I'm saying to you? So I'm not going to say that they haven't had some issues, but I got to tell you something right now. This country is what it is and how it is and why everybody wants to come here. They're not flooding down south across the border because they don't want to be here. They want to be here because it is safe and they can, you know, experience the American dream. So, you know, it starts with our laws. It starts with our belief. And that law starts with our Constitution. And I got to tell you, unless we have law enforcement and we support law enforcement and I support them fully, and I'm an attorney and I've had to try cases, you know, where my clients, you know, were on the wrong side of the law. But as long as we continue to give everybody a fair trial with a jury of their peers, and we do everything the way it was designed to be done, we'll be great. Continue to be great.
Let me ask both of you about an analysis in the New York Times about what the Republicans can do to win in American cities. This is under the headline, Republicans aren't trying to win in cities anymore. And the conclusion that the author of the piece makes is that the party could really benefit from a new Jack Kemp. I'll quote the end of the piece. Quote, looking back in history and to a future beyond Donald Trump, the GOP may need someone like Jack Kemp. That is a conservative, articulate on racial justice and upward mobility who would be comfortable in any incarnation of the Bronx, the dismal 1980 landscape or the one today where fancy coffee shops fuel concern about gentrification. The party today still contains some of Kemp's acolytes, although it is hard to make out his influence anymore. End quote. David Dunning, do you agree with that? I mean, is someone like Jack Kemp an important figure to sort of emulate for the party, especially in urban settings?
Well, Evan, if I could just...
Yeah, go ahead, Bernie.
A lighter point. That's going to be very difficult for, you know, Supervisor Dunning because he's a Miami fan.
Nobody's perfect.
Wow. Wow.
Wrong year for that, David.
I think that there's no reason why we can't be comfortable in the worst of environments out there. I would be. I know I have no problem if I needed to go into the worst part of whatever inner city or wherever it may be for whatever, whether it's the richest of neighborhoods, the poorest of neighborhoods. I'm comfortable there. And it's, Evan, it's all about that. Just being, listening to people, caring, be concerned. I think it's about what we do for public service. If we are truly public servants and not personal servants of ourselves, then we will go out there and we should be able to and be comfortable in the worst of environments.
What do you think, Bernie?
Evan, I'm the wrong guy to ask that because when I got involved with the Flower City Soccer League, I had to go down to Freddie Thomas High School at the time. Freddie Thomas is still on the corner of Sile and Central Park in Portland Avenue. And that's where they had Community Place, which they've designed rec centers right into our schools so that kids can go from school to the rec center, you know, if they don't have a place to go after school. But I went down there and the first thing we had to do is we had to clean the soccer field of all the broken glass and everything like that. But I went down there, coached, and I'm very comfortable going into the city. I grew up in the city, and I'm very comfortable going any place because all I do know is this. Everyone, once they have a belief in why you're doing things and they have the trust in you, you know, you have nothing to be concerned about. I love to be able to provide mentoring, coaching, vision for everyone to give them the opportunity to see what can be achieved, what can be realized, what the real American dream is all about, what education has done for me. You know, in our family, education was paramount. My father was illiterate, you know, being raised in Italy, didn't get a chance for education. My mother went to the third grade. When she came here, she loved this country. She never wanted to go back. And but they did make sure that we got educated because they said the best way to achieve success is with education. And I think we got to... I personally have done that with my kids. I continue to follow that mantra. My brother Frank does. My brother Tony does. My sister Palma did. You know, I got to tell you, you know, I think there's nothing more important, you know, for us to be there to help everyone rise up and get better and do better. And, you know, my own business, I mean, I love, you know, building homes for everyone. You know, one lady called me up and she says, you know, Mr. Jacobangelo, I says, I'd like to build a house in your community in Henrietta. I says, why Henrietta? I got one in Chile also. She goes, oh, no. She says, I love your diversity that you have in your community. She says, it's just, you know, it's really global in nature. I said, thank you very much. I said, I never looked at it that way. I just enjoy building communities for people that, you know, want to enjoy their home with their family and build memories. When I coach everyone. I coach everyone to make sure that they understand the need to for hard work, to understand the perseverance, perspiration, all the commitments that we have to have and the dedication and passion. And I want to do it for them. I closed a couple of house deals for kids that I coached in the inner city, you know, and it was just such an honor. I have one fellow that I'm a Facebook friend with, Julio Gonzalez. He's a staff sergeant or in the Army, and he's had like 7 or 8 tours overseas, but he's become, you know, a career soldier. And I mean, to see them progress and have families and do great, it's possible for everybody. So, you know, that's what I do. As I serve people, I represented people. I bought into it when I became an attorney, and I learned in law school, you want to be a great attorney, stand in the shoes of your client, feel their pain.
All right, so let me get a little bit more feedback from listeners. John writes to say, regarding what the Republican Party stands for, I've heard your guests say good government. What does that mean? The de facto head of their party is President Trump, and he has waged a years-long war against competence and coordination in government. Just look at the pandemic response. Can you be more detailed? Is this an example of good government? Bernie, has the president done a good job with good government?
Well, you have to recognize that on the federal level, I believe that he has done a great job of good government by the bills that he's passed, signed into law. I believe that the Tax Act was a great piece of legislation because it put people to work. It developed an opportunity for this economy in our country before the COVID pandemic to hit an unbelievable level of success. I believe his desire to make us more reliant on manufacturing in our own country was critical. During the time that tax bill went into effect, and during the time of that great economic recovery, minority unemployment went down tremendously. And I think that is, you know, beneficial to everybody in this country. There are many more other pieces of good legislation, okay? And, you know, you got to remember, I don't really represent the party on the federal level.
Sure.
I represent the party here. I started, like I told you, in Chile. I'm just trying to do is make sure that what's been successful for us in Chile, you know, with the great leadership under David Dunning and his town board and all of his department heads and everything else, that the constituents, the people living here.
Absolutely.
The values go up.
Absolutely. Yeah, absolutely. I think both of you are making a point that every voter everywhere, sometimes we in the media overfocus on national races, we get fixated on presidential races, but so often our lives are impacted by whether the garbage is picked up on time, whether things are cleaned up, whether the basic services that we need are provided efficiently. I think what John is saying is he doesn't disagree with that, but do you as a party see that what you seem to be supporting on the national level is not a good coordination of services? I mean, forget a tax cut. We're talking about a crisis, and he's saying this was not well run. It was not well managed. And the party continues to support it. Where is the party of good government if you're not handling a crisis? Well, I think that's what John is saying. Bernie, is that off base?
Well, we're gonna switch again.
Sure, David. Yeah, go ahead, David.
Evan, first of all, hindsight is 2020. You know, we can look back at everything that's happened in the past 4 years under President Trump, and you can blame President Trump for everything in the world that's gone wrong. And he is not, I don't think he's the leader of our party. He's certainly not the leader of our party anymore. And that's been taken care of. And I think, again, you know, all politics is local. We here focus, we don't dwell on what's happening in the national political level to run our communities. We dwell on what's happening here. What do our people want here? What I don't know what people want in Colorado or Wisconsin or Wyoming or Pennsylvania or Florida. I don't know what it means to them in their communities and what they want and need from their government. And for us, it's the quality of life in our local area. That's all we can work on. That's all we can. I have no influence over a presidential election other than when I go in on election day and on election day, go in and vote. That's the only time I have influence over what happens at the federal level.
And let me add this, Evan. That was great, David.
Yeah.
One of the things we have to do is look at start somewhere. You know, we've got to pay it forward. You know what I'm saying to you? We've got to make sure, you know, that we are having a success here locally so that we can have everyone else within our party pick up that type of mantra, okay, and develop that kind of service and concern for each and every one of our constituents, whether urban or suburban. And what we've got to do is become just great coaches and mentors locally. When you look at what Brandon Bean and McDermott did at Buffalo, they didn't look back. They didn't look at what happened in the past. And, you know, they just came in and says, well, here's what we need to do. And now, as they start to make those changes and make an impact, what starts to happen? They start to have successes. Those successes are sometimes called, well, they got lucky. But now all of a sudden they're saying, wait a minute, they may be for real. And so people start taking notice of them, and that's what we're trying to do. From a local level, from a county level, it's our goal to follow that type of, you know, success and to show them that what we've done here locally has real value, has real merit, and we're for real. We want to be for real in the county, and maybe we can get that to follow through the state of New York. Maybe we can get that to follow through the United States. But right now, the best thing we can do is start right here in Monroe County.
Hey, Bernie, will you come back on this program when we call again? I want to thank you because you responded right away, and it's great having you.
Thank you very much, Evan. And thank you for inviting us, and thank you for the time.
Well, but before I let you go, I'm going to tell you, I think there's an issue that you can get everyone to agree on. Well, most people. I think it's about time that we get about – I'm a Cleveland fan. I'm from Cleveland. The Browns had 12,000 fans in the stadium last night, all spread out, all wearing masks. I think it's about time for Buffalo to have that when they knock out the Dolphins this year.
I'm right with you.
All right. We can put 10,000 people in there safely. Spread them out. Let them enjoy it.
You're back on the show, are you?
David, I figured you're not coming back, so I might as well just, you know, bury that one. Thanks to both of you, and let's make sure we stay in touch, and let's continue to have these conversations. There's a lot we didn't get to, but I know our listeners at least appreciate the access. Thank you, gentlemen.
You take care. Bye-bye.
Bernie Iacovangelo is the acting chair of the Monroe County Republican Party, the committee, technically. He's the head of the party. Sounds official. It is official. David Dunning, secretary of the Monroe County Republican Committee and the supervisor of the town of Chi-Lai. We appreciate their time this hour, and there's a lot more connections coming up. Stay with us.